Welcome to Bring Something to the Table.
We're your hosts, Shelby
and Leslie.
With our dynamic 20-year age gap, we're here to sprinkle some joy, wisdom, and a little chaos into your life.
Join us on this Denver-based adventure where age is just a number and laughter is our favorite currency.
From tequila-infused conversations to heart-to-hearts about vulnerability, we're here to bring you stories that resonate, insights that enlighten, and maybe even a few laughs along the way.
So grab your favorite drink, get ready to join the party, because this is your VIP ticket to a community where everyone belongs.
Because remember, you always deserve a seat at our table. Welcome to You Will Bring Something to the Table. Cheers.
Cheers.
I'm Shelby.
I'm Leslie.
I'm trying to get comfortable, but the purpose of course. You have a mascot here.
Likes to sabotage us.
I'm sorry. I keep it in, you know? I think that was great.
That just happened.
For anyone who cares. My dog is laying on his plush orthopedic fur bed and as soon hasn't moved an inch, literally, and as soon as we start, he knocked down our audio thing. So that's our vibe just from the get-go.
Yeah, so I guess that's part of it. Like, we want to be perfect in everything we do, and sometimes things just aren't perfect. So
if we realized anything, or if I've realized anything, it's that nothing goes as planned.
No.
At all.
No.
At all. So.
There's a reason why those cliches exist, because they're true.
I don't know how.
Laid plans.
How people get their shit together and, like, look professional. Because I have a plant behind me that I got from Trader Joe's that was dead upon arrival. The feathers you see behind Leslie's head came from a lamp that I lit on fire.
She did. Very lucky that she did not burn the house down. Yeah. So
here we are.
That's cute. This is our comfortable spot. And that's what we wanted this to be. Like, just to have conversations where we are comfortable and chatting about life and love and
the pursuit of happiness. And not having weird flowers in my hair. So.
All right. What is the topic for today?
Well, let's talk about a positive thing first.
Okay.
Do you want me to start?
Yes, I would love it. Thank you.
So what I bring to the table or the couch today is my love for Dysport. Botox, Dysport, neurotoxin, whatever for your face. So I stopped doing it just to, like, see if I can age gracefully and, like, love how I look without that or, like, doing anything crazy. And I was just like, you know what? I'm going to give it a try again because a friend was having an event at one of, like, the med spas here. So it was discounted significantly. So I was like, now's the best time to try. Mm-hmm. I freaking love it. I can't move my forehead, but it's so smooth. And, like, to be transparent, one eye is a little bit more droopier than the other. And she did a little bit more in a certain spot on the droopy eye.
Oh.
And I just feel it's the smallest thing. No one else would notice but me. But I feel so much better.
Well, and I think that's really important for, yes, it doesn't matter. Like, I don't think it matters what anybody does to themselves as long as they feel good. And I tried to go for a really, really long time. I thought for a while that, like, the indentations under my eye were stress because of the situation I was in. And then I thought I was dehydrated. So I literally was drinking a gallon of water a day because that, for my weight, was what I needed to do. So I tried that for, like, 5 months and it didn't work. And then I went on vacation and, like, slept for 4 days. And so then I was like, nope. I think it's age. And so I started with the fillers under my eye, but I haven't found anyone I love yet because I think the first time I go, it's great. And then I go back to them and then they fuck something up. So I'm still on the quest for the perfect person. But yeah, I don't look hollow anymore.
I know. Like, well, I didn't know what you looked like before.
Yeah.
But, like, I have filler, lip filler, and I love it. But, like, somebody before has messed it up. So I have, like, a tiny divot. So it's like, don't do a Groupon. I didn't. I didn't myself, but like, just don't, just for anyone else thinking about it. It's going to be expensive. It hurts like a motherfucker. Like, filler is so painful, no matter how much they numb you. So just know that.
Yeah.
But I think it's, I've never had a child, but I think it's similar to childbirth, is you forget the pain that you go through. So 6 months later, a year later, like, I do it again. So find somebody reputable. And I'm on that quest for sure. I think I have someone, but we'll spread the word once we have them for sure. Because, like, yeah. I'm here to I'll tell you everything I've had done. If I get anything else done, what do I care?
No, and I think that's it. These type of things, nobody really wants to talk about. Like, I'm not going to post it in a group where I have coworkers or I know other people are in that group. I wouldn't. I don't know. Because I don't want people talking about me. But it's referral, and you trust the person who looks good. And finding the right person is a walking billboard for that professional.
Yeah. And I get, whenever I get compliments on, like, on my looks, like, if people are like, oh, you're so pretty, A, it makes me uncomfortable. And B, it doesn't, like, it doesn't mean anything to me, because I'm like, I didn't do anything to get this. Like, tell me instead I'm smart.
Right.
Or tell me, like, I'm funny. Or something like that. But, like, once, I don't know, when someone compliments my looks, I'm like, oh, filler, Botox, or, like, Dysport, facials, peels, like, all of it. I'll tell you everything I do, because, like, it's just my appearance. Like, it's not who I am. And it has no bearing on, like, the person that I truly am. So, like, that's not really a compliment to me. I don't know where I'm going with that.
I know, because, well, I still like to tell you that you look pretty, and you have gorgeous eyes, which are always so striking, so people see that right away.
Yeah.
And those eyelashes, which are ridiculous, because I try.
That's scary.
I have probably gone through 37 different kinds of mascaras, and I'm not even kidding. And then I had a period of time where I did lash extensions, which I loved, but it's a lie. Your eyelashes do fall out.
Fall out. You're bald.
And I had great, she used the top of the line, they were the mink or whatever, and no.
So you're literally using a chemical to attach something to your tiny little fine, like, hair. Mm-hmm. Of course it's going to fall out. So everyone's a liar, basically.
Yeah. But, oh, my God, to wake up like that in the morning. Oh, I love them.
I did that before COVID. It's so, it's just not worth it.
Yeah.
Like, you feel great. It's great probably for, like, a special event, or if, like, you're on vacation and you don't want to worry about putting makeup on. But, like, day to day, it's just not feasible.
Well, I laugh because I did the once before I went on a beach vacation, and then I got tumbled in the ocean.
What was it like?
They all, like, came off. I got out. Finally, it was a terrible ocean experience. And the people I were with, I was with, were like, what? What's all over your face?
My eyelashes.
Eyelashes. So don't do that.
Yeah. It's you're not supposed to get them, like, wet, wet.
Right. Exactly.
But, like, who lives like that? I sure don't. What's your thing that you're bringing to the table this week?
I am going to bring to the table this week, and I didn't think of it until you just asked that question. I think grace, like, grace to be, like, kind and patient with yourself. Well, for myself, like, lately I just have some stuff happening, and, like, I would never speak to a friend or let my friend speak about herself that way. And so I'm going to try to ingest that this week and, like, be like, you know, it's a time, and it's a few days that are going to be really hard coming up, and I'm just going to be okay with that.
Be nice to yourself.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. It's hard. It's hard to do that, because I think we're our own worst critics, and we know what we're capable of. So we're like, do better. Like, I think of that when I'm, like, running or working out, I, like, hear myself, like, you could have done the 12-pound weights instead of the eights. Like, don't be a little bitch about it. And then I'm like, wait a second, I'm here. I wouldn't talk to, like, 2-year-old me like that, or 5-year-old, my best friend's, like, small child like that. Yeah. You're like, oh my God, you have a piece of paper. Great. It's beautiful. You gotta talk to yourself like that more.
100%. And that's a whole other episode, I think, but yeah. Parts work is so important to take the time to realize and be aware of what's coming up when you're in a certain situation or in a relationship, and realize who's showing up at that moment and talk to that, that little Shelby self, or that teenage Shelby, or whatever it might be.
Whatever part it is. God. Yeah. Mm-hmm. That's a whole other, we should have I don't think my therapist would come on necessarily, but like,
I know, I don't think any of the therapists that we know a lot would be able to come on, but
I have a maybe friend who's a therapist, but I don't know if she would do it. We'll see.
I know we have two best friends who are therapists, separate friends. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
I don't know. Anyway. We'll find that out. Anywho, our topic for today, and it's something that I just like randomly saw on Instagram the other day, that I hear also like a lot in like the dating world and from like friends and stuff, is that if they want to, they will. Which I just don't like it. Like, it doesn't make me feel good. It's not that simple. And it never landed right with me. And I never knew why until I saw this thing that kind of like explained it. I guess I can read
it. Yes, I was going to say, can you read it? Would that help to explain it?
Yeah.
Because I do think that's, I think this is one of those ands.
Yeah.
Not an either or, but an and.
It says, it's not that simple. This is a critical and judgmental statement motivated by an entitlement that lacks empathy. We've all been there, wanting something, but not being able to take the necessary steps to get there. This is about the fear, anger, resentment, and avoidance that prevents action. Stop objectifying people. Our partners are dealing with their own challenges and have needs of their own that may conflict with the ability to do something for us. So instead of judging and withdrawing, which is what I do.
That's so easy.
Keep pushing, but like in a nice way. Asking once isn't enough. Sometimes twice isn't enough. Keep asking, redirecting, reframing, and engaging in ways that may elicit the reactions you're after. Also keep in mind that acknowledgement and understanding may be just as satisfying as receiving.
That was long and a lot to take in.
Yeah.
So how did you feel then when you read that?
It made me feel a little bit more comfort, I guess, with like that idea. Because I guess in the past, like in my past, one of my like past serious relationships, I was the one to start to go to therapy because I could feel like things not going the way I wanted them to. So it was like, obviously something's wrong with me, which is a whole other thing.
Mm-hmm.
But I learned to put like into words what I was feeling. So I was like, hey, I am not being nice to you because like you are not doing these things that make me feel loved or make me feel taken care of. And so I could put words to that, and it's up to the other person to respond. And he just didn't. He didn't respond with actions. He didn't respond with, like receiving it in any way, just because he wasn't the type of person to, like, communicate his feelings in any way. So I got to the point where I could articulate how I was feeling, but then, like, I didn't get what I needed from him, so I broke up with him. Eventually.
Yeah. Which is, I think, okay. I mean, that's what happens. And we meet people at different parts of our lives.
Mm-hmm.
And I mean, I guess when you first read that quote, part of it is like, you know, that movie, he's just not that into you. Like, yes, if somebody likes you, they're going to make a date. They're going to try to see you. They're going to prioritize you and things like that, which I kind of do believe is true. Like, I have always said, oh, I'm so busy. I can't date, but I'd go on a date. But it was a great excuse to be like, I'm not going to wake up earlier in the day to get my stuff done to spend time with you. But then as you read more of the quote, it is way more complex. And I think that's where it comes in with relationships. And we meet people who aren't going to be our emotional IQ, right? Like, we're at different levels. I was married to somebody, my first marriage, we were just young and we did not know how to communicate. And he could not express a feeling to save his life. He has absolutely evolved at this point in time. And maybe if we met again when we were 50, then it would be a different thing. But I knew then that I needed more. And so you have discovered that, yeah, you need more. And that's okay. That's like communicating your needs. And then,
yeah, I think that's how, whenever you're young, period, like no one knows what they're doing. You don't know your own emotions or feelings, let alone like another person's. And I always went through life being like, well, I would do it this way. So like, I don't understand why they're not doing it this way too, which seems like a really simple concept to be like, fuck, like, what are you talking about? It's a different person. They were raised differently. But that's been something hard, like a mindset for me to break. That's been really hard. So I'm like, well, I would care for you in this way and you're not caring for me in that the way that I need, like, you don't love me kind of thing.
Well, which kind of like lies or rolls into the love languages, mm-hmm. which I think is interesting because, yes, your love language might be acts of service, but somebody might not know how to do that because they like gifts, for example.
Yeah.
But if the person's evolved enough, then they will understand that, I think, and then, you know, want to do that for you because that makes you feel loved. And then it's a warm, reciprocal relationship at that point.
And I think if you don't know your love languages, that's an important thing to like think about. And if you don't know how to say that's what you want, whether it makes you feel guilty or shameful that you like gifts.
Yeah.
Like, that's okay.
But it doesn't have to be a, I don't know, a Tiffany pearl or Tiffany ring or something.
It can be a cookie.
Yes.
Or like, did you ever watch New Girl?
I don't think so.
Oh my God. Okay. So there's this one guy, Schmidt. He's like the one I resonate with the most on the show. And it's like a couple guys that live together. And then this one girl comes in and Schmidt got Nick, the other guy, a cookie. And Nick is the avoidant type. Schmidt is like, I want to shower you with love and all of this stuff. So he gets him a cookie and Nick's like, gross. Like, I don't want your cookie. And Schmidt's like, well, why? I am the cookie. You're rejecting me. And so I was like, well, I'm Schmidt in that instance. Like, I get it. Like, you take things personally, but this person doesn't know how to receive your love because you're giving it in a way that they don't need.
Mm-hmm.
They need it in a different way. And like, you just have to talk about it.
Yes. But that takes time. Like, a 25-year-old is not necessarily going to be able to know and express that, even maybe at 27.
Like, no, I was drunk in my 20s. I was drunk most of my 20s and so self-absorbed, but like not in a way that like was conducive to personal growth.
Yeah.
I was all over the place. And I think most people in their 20s are.
Yes, as you should be. That is your like rite of passage, time of your life. I was not. I was on a quest to get married. Mm-hmm. And that's what I did. So
I don't know how people get married in their 20s.
Oh my God, you're not even evolved as a person yet. I mean, you've just gotten out of college and then you still don't even know who you are. Mm-hmm. Or you got that degree and you want to do that. So
I support it because one of my best friends, like, that's what she did. She married her now husband and they've been together ever since. Actually, today's their anniversary. I think it's like 12 years of marriage or something. We're the same age. So, I don't know. It's possible and, like, people can do it for sure, but it's not my path, obviously. But, like, if I married my boyfriend that I was dating when I was 25, I think I would have murdered him or would have, like, hired a hitman to kill him. He was an awful person, and I would never date that kind of person now.
Yeah.
But, I don't know. All that to say, don't get married when you're 20.
I don't know. But there are those. I know a few that have been successful. So
yeah.
It just depends. And it's hard not to be judgy too when you do see somebody who's in their early 20s and you're like, don't get
married. I know. Or like, what am I doing? It's different now. But dating guys in their 20s as a 35-year-old woman, like, I don't know what I expected from these boys. From these boys.
Because yes, at one point we were chatting about like there has to be nobody under 30. And then you're like, yeah, but he's 27. I'm like, yeah, but no. So
hasn't worked out. Good.
Right. Okay. So you've evolved from that.
I've evolved, but I've moved it to 28.
Oh, good Lord.
So we'll see how that goes. But I did see a very attractive, like silver fox kind of guy. I think he was an early gray situation. But I was like, oh my God. This is out of the ordinary for me.
Oh, yeah. Good.
Yeah. So I'm back, baby.
Yeah.
Disport in my face.
Dating.
I just like smile at people and make a little bit like too long of eye contact just to see what happens and like tell people they're cute. Like now I just don't care.
I think that's so brave. I'm so glad you did that. I am. I was never good at flirting and I was shopping once. This is so long ago. I was like at Whole Foods and I had just gotten these really cute like leopard sandals. And so I saw this guy in one aisle and we kind of looked at each other and then I saw him again in another aisle. And then we came across on the third aisle and he goes, I really love your shoes. They're so cute. And I said something like, Thank you. They stay on my feet because my toddler steps on my shoe and my foot comes out.
That was too much. A simple thank you. Was
and then I turned bright red and I was like, oh God, I hope I don't run into him again. Like, gotta go. I was not a good flirter. That was not my game.
I don't know how to flirt either. I'm so awkward. I'm not smooth at all, but like, that's just me. And I'm not going to, like, I can't change. I'm just not like someone who is like charismatic in that smooth guy kind of way.
Yeah.
So I'm just trying to figure out how to like embrace my weirdness and like, when I'm uncomfortable, I giggle like a child. So I'm just like, whatever, it is what it is. If you, I'm not trying to be somebody else just to get someone to like me.
Yes. Anymore. That is amazing. That is like where everybody needs to be. So it takes a long time. Sometimes people get it early on and sometimes it takes longer in life. So that's perfect.
And it's just for now. I'm sure that I'll, it's a roller coaster. Like I'm sure I'll regress and then come back and like whatever. It's just.
Well, you would evolve. I mean, you're a growth-oriented person, so you're always looking at how to improve emotionally or physically or financially. You're looking at all those pieces of the puzzle, and as a well-rounded human should be. So,
yeah, that's good. And not someone in their 20s. There are 20-year-old, not 20-year-olds, people in their 20s that have their shit together more than, like, some people in their 50s. But that's, I haven't met him.
Yeah.
That's rare.
Yeah. I can't say that I like it that my son is like that, but he's only 22, but he'll get there.
Yeah, he's a nice,
he's a different,
he's a good boy.
Little soul.
A yeah. good man. A good kid.
I don't
he's
know.
He's a kid. He's still a kid.
Yeah. But gosh, when I was 22, again, like I was living with his dad and like on the marriage path and
yeah.
he's so not that. So it's interesting to see how I think the generations have changed also. I mean, mine was like you graduate high school and you go to 4-year college and then you get your corporate job and that was it. That was the path. And now everybody can kind of find their own way, which is important.
Yeah. I think we're like in a kind of in a time too where there was like that structure of like this is how you grow up. And now it's like flip-flopped a little bit. And now like I wonder what kids are doing now. Like you don't have that.
Oh,
you still have that path that is like an option, but it like no one wants to do it. So is there a structure, a different kind of structure where they're like, okay, I can be a podcaster. I can be an influencer. I can become a YouTube star. Like, I wonder what that path looks like. Because I would like to explore those options.
Yes, because the world is their oyster. Right? They can really do whatever they want to do.
Yeah. So circling back to our topic, if they wanted to, they would. I guess what's your take on all of that? I think I've explicitly told you how I feel.
Yes, and I think we kind of covered that. I mean, I think there's the very superficial parts of dating. Like if somebody, you know, if they're not going to contact you after a date, then they're not going to, you know.
You don't want that person in your life.
Right. And if they wanted to, then they would make the effort. And then I think there is the part of having a relationship with somebody, and if they can't meet you there, they might just have limitations. And in a relationship, your partner can't cover all the buckets. That's why we have different friendships.
Yeah.
I will say it's interesting because I have recently learned, because I'm just more aware of my partner and not necessarily myself, because there's a part where we're selfish and we want all of our needs met all the time. And it's hard to kind of come to compromise. But I learned of my partner lately that when he's really, really quiet, I just kind of leave that alone. And then randomly, maybe it's 1 a.m, I don't know, or it's the next day, he'll just start blurting out all these things on his own time.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm not going to push because I need that attention from him in that moment or whatever. I need to like let him do his thing. And then if I'm feeling sad or needy or whatever, and I see he's not there for me, then I would call a girlfriend. I think that's just evolving into, I guess, that. Like sometimes they can meet your needs and sometimes they cannot. We can get them met elsewhere. But if it's perpetual and you're not on the same page, then you have to say goodbye. And that's really hard.
Yeah. I think what it boils down to for me is just like communication.
Mm-hmm.
Like, know how you feel and what you're doing before you go to somebody, and think about how you're approaching them. Like, I was listening to it was more of like a finance podcast yesterday. And he was talking about how to have, like, if you're moving in with somebody, how to have that financial conversation.
Uh-huh.
And it's talking about, like, the way to approach it is to be like, I feel, I think,
right,
I'm seeing, not like you are doing this, you are doing that, or whatever, like, that will trigger somebody to be, like, defensive.
Absolutely.
So I think, like, having, when you're going into, like, any type of intimate conversation with somebody, focusing on, like, how you feel. Like, this is how I'm feeling, and some things you do make me feel this way. Not you're making me feel this way. It's just, like, your actions or something like that. And I think just being, like, honest and vulnerable with people.
Oh, my God, that word vulnerable, that's its own. Yeah. Yes, because you don't know how they're going to respond. And then it turns into kind of that gaslighting, right? Like, if you start with this you type thing, then they're going to be defensive and be like, well, you have this issue and it's your problem that you react that way and things like that. And that's not helping. That's going to just explode. But I think, you know, to your point, it's also, what do you want to get out of that conversation? What's the outcome?
Yeah.
So kind of have that agenda. And mind, do you have a goal there, or do you just want to fight and be combative? Because sometimes we just want to fight just to make it spicy.
I never do. At least I'm not aware of it. Like, I never want to pick a fight. I hate, like, confrontation with, like, a partner, like a romantic partner. With friends, like, I'm happy to bring up, like, any situation and, like, hash it out if it's needed. But, like, I don't know, with romantic partners, I guess it's been a while since I've been, like, in a serious relationship, but I don't want to, like,
no,
pick a fight just to pick a fight. It's just, I think a parent maybe has done that in the past, and I witnessed it a lot, and I was like, this is trash behavior. So, I don't know, childhood trauma or whatever. But I did have someone, speaking of vulnerability, somebody a few weeks ago, I posted something on Instagram, which is, like, such a passive aggressive way to, like, get somebody's attention. And I acknowledge that. And they were like, hey, was this about me?
Oh.
And in the past, I would have been like, no, gaslight the shit out of them. Be like, no, like, what are you, a narcissist? Blah, blah, blah. But I was like, all right, I took a beat and I was like, actually, yeah, I guess it kind of was. Like,
oh my gosh. Did you post it intentionally for the person to see it?
No. I think, like, other things were going on. It just, like, wasn't just solely for, like, in regards to that situation. And so I was like, yeah, like, you did this thing that made me question my self-worth. And that's something I'm working on. But, like, your action caused me to feel this way.
Yeah.
Because, like, I'm allowed to have emotions, whether, like, you want to accept it or not. So I was, like, vulnerable in that situation. And then, like, never talked to him again. It's been like a month, over a month or something. And I was like, those aren't my people.
No.
Like, if you're going to, don't ask the question if you don't want to hear the answer.
Oh my gosh. Yes. So true. Absolutely.
So.
And that's really hard. Sometimes you don't really want to hear the answer, because then it makes you have to be self-aware and look into your own actions.
Yeah.
Who wants to do that?
I know. Well, not this person. So, like, that's kind of, I think it's a good way to, like, start to not intentionally weed people out of your life, but you kind of start to naturally, the more you speak up for yourself and the more you're vulnerable and, like, are your own advocate in relationships, the more the people that aren't in that same, like, basket with you are going to fall out of your life. And bye, like, see you later. I don't want them.
Yeah. And I think there's so many, there's books and there's podcasts, and it's all about, like, not being nice anymore. And you do lose people when you start to find your voice and express it. I've learned that. And it's hard. And it's hard to have the conversation, but then your own truth is really what's important, and to be your best authentic self.
Yeah.
So you can be your best authentic self for another person. But our baby is having a nightmare.
I think he thinks he's running in his dream, because he doesn't run in real life ever. Well, anyways, to wrap this up, I think that what you just said is kind of, like, one of the main reasons we even wanted to start this podcast. Like, not that we're perfect human beings, even though we like to think we are.
Oh my God, all the time. Just had a conversation the other day with some super.
But I think like we're learning that the people that we pleased, like mm-hmm. the people that we made ourselves uncomfortable to make them comfortable, yes. we're now learning like those aren't the people we want in our lives. And when we do speak our truth, they go away. So it's like they're not bringing anything to the table. We don't always bring stuff to the table, but we're trying to be more aware of that. And that's that. I lost my train of thought because I looked in a bag over there with a bunny holding a carrot.
Yes, I think that's true. I think it is finding your own truth. Because when you constantly, like, spoiler the episode again, but when you are constantly giving pieces of yourself away to please other people, you have health issues. You don't like yourself. You feel this anxiety and your truth is missing and you can feel it in your heart.
Mm-hmm.
And so trying to be your best authentic self, I think allows, and that's my goal right now in my life is I want to be my best self so I can help others and be a better friend or a partner or a sister or whatever to the other people in my life.
Mm-hmm.
And sometimes things change and relationships evolve and change.
I think as we're wrapping it up, a book I read, I think it was like Glennon Doyle.
Oh yeah.
It was, I can't remember, Untamed, I think.
Yes.
And she was talking to her kids. I'm sure if you don't know the story, go read her book. But like she was talking to her kids about disappointing other people. And what stuck with me in that book is that she said, well, would you rather disappoint your sister, me, your friends, or would you rather disappoint yourself? She's like, always make the decision that will not disappoint you, mm-hmm. that will make the decision that will make you proud. Everyone else will figure it out. Because like, if you don't do that, you're living your life for other people and you have no idea what you want.
Mm-hmm.
So that's something that fires me up. But it's hard to do.
It is hard to do.
If you're a people pleaser. Which I am.
People pleasing.
Yeah.
We all struggle with it. But you know, that's good. That's good.
That's good. Yeah. And that's a wrap.
That is a wrap.
Thanks for
listening.
And coming to our table. Couch.
Yes.
Talk. Flower head.
That is our purpose. Because we do believe that everyone deserves a seat at our table. In this case, it's a couch. But
it's big enough to fit more people.
Yes.
Stay tuned.
Thank you.
Bye.
And that's a wrap of another episode of Bring Something to the Table.
We hope you enjoyed diving into the wild world of candid conversations with us.
Remember, you can catch all of our episodes on your favorite podcast platform.
And if you love what you heard, don't forget to subscribe, rate, and review.
Your support means the world to us.
So until next time, keep embracing the messiness of life, keep seeking those shared experiences, and always remember,
you deserve a seat at our table.
Bye.
Bye.